you know, that's another thing about like manifestation. I believe we're turning manifestation into such a selfish thing, and that's not what it is. It's how can I align my desires with what is best for the greater good of all? And if you can do that, it will happen for you.
The sun is coming up, are you ready to go? We can take a ride, we can take it slow, yo.
It's your boy Paul Fishman, self-love coach and You Do You activist, excited to welcome you on the road to self-love. Each week, I'm going to be joined by a very special guest in my car as we travel, literally and figuratively, on the road to self-love. We're going to have very candid conversation about life, self-love, business, and so much more, all with the goal of giving you the tools that you need to learn how to love yourself unconditionally. I hope you're ready, so let's get buckled up, because here we go. Oh, hey, self-lovers. It's another Tuesday, which means it's another episode of The Road to Self-Love coming at ya hot off the presses. I guess that term doesn't really apply to a podcast, but you pick it up what I'm putting down. I am so excited for this episode, like really passionately, just full of joy after I recorded this episode with our guest today, Sahara Rose, who is an Ayurvedic practitioner and someone who I think just was really on a mission to educate and inspire people to look at their lives and their bodies a little bit differently than they would have in the past. And we dig really, really deep into this. My two favorite things that happened in this episode that you are going to want to tune in for. We write an original song together and we sing it and perform it live. And let me just tell you, I think it's a Billboard top 100 hit. Are you salivating yet for this moment? Me too. I really want to listen to it over and over and over and over and over again. Second favorite part is she talks about mystical creatures and basically makes my dreams come true and tells me that I'm a unicorn. So I think we just need to hop right in to get onto the road to self-love. This has been short and sweet, but I'm so excited for you to join Sahara and I on the road to self-love. So let's get buckled up, get ready, because here we go.
We can take a ride, we can take it slow, yeah.
Welcome back to the road to self-love. It's your boy Paul Fishman, self-love coach and You Do You activist, here today with Sahara Rose. Like, literally the most excited to be here ever with you. I feel so honored that you took time out of your busy, busy life to be a part of this journey with me. So I think that self-love is a big thing when it comes to just being able to own who you are. So instead of me introducing you, I'm going to let you own who you are, brag as much as you want, and just like dish who Sahara Rose is.
So I'm a soul that chose to come down to a body. I was like, okay, which body do I pick? I decided I would come down as this little Persian chick. And I decided to pick some parents who are not into the spirituality stuff so I could have like a really tough time and then figure out that I'm still a cosmic being despite other people telling me that I'm not. So I chose that experience, had a lot of health problems in this vessel that I'm in. And then that led me to discover Ayurveda, which is the world's oldest health system and the sister science of yoga based on the mind-body connection. So that radically changed my life because for the first time I was able to see that my health problems were actually related to the foods I was eating and the thoughts I was thinking. And I prompted onto this road of like learning everything I could about the mind-body connection and eventually studying it, wanting to teach it to others, writing a book about it. I've written two books about it, Idiot's Guide to Ayurveda and Eat, Feel, Fresh. And now I'm on this path to bring just greater consciousness out to the mainstream, especially the millennials, because we are that generation that I feel like is most receptive to it because of the internet. We've been exposed because of the Aquarian age, we're ready for it. But at the same time, you know, how does it apply to my life? How is it going to make me a better, happier person? So I'm all about making spirituality, Ayurveda, all this wisdom accessible, modern, relatable, and fun.
I love that. If it isn't fun, what is it? It's like, what's the point?
No point.
So I have to share that my first like introduction to you. You were on another podcast and you talked all about tongue scraping, and it literally changed my life. I don't know what
Let's
I was
see
doing.
Your tongue. Clean.
Well, I scraped this morning.
Looking good.
Looking great.
Now that's a tongue.
That is a tongue.
There should be a dating app. Like, don't show me your face, just show me your tongue. Because you can learn a lot about a person from their tongue.
It's, well, what can you learn about a person with their because of their tongue?
So you can see what dosha is out of balance, like what energy is out of balance. So for example, if your tongue was like coated in kind of grayish stuff, like we all have white stuff, but it was more gray, that's a vata imbalance. So you'd probably have constipation, anxiety, cold, dry hands, etc. If it was really red, especially red on the tip, or yellowish, that's a pitta imbalance. So you probably have acidity, heartburn, acid reflux, acne, etc. And then if it was more just like really white and coated and almost like fluffy or even hairy looking, that would be a sign of a kapha imbalance. So, I mean, we can take a deeper look at your tongue later on if you
okay, perfect.
Want to get into it.
Good. Yeah. Well, so explain the doshas, because I think that, I mean, I personally am familiar with them, but just for all the people out there who are like, a dosha what? A dosha who?
Dosha what? Dosha who? That's my new hit single,
oh,
actually.
Oh, great. Well, we'll write what. It later. Yeah. Don't you worry.
So the word dosha means energy. So there are three doshic types, three archetypes. Vata, Pitta, Kapha. So Vata is air, so their personalities are airy. So if you think of an airy person, what do you think that's like?
Like flighty and like light and go with the flow and not really grounded.
Exactly. Like lots of people in LA, you know, it's like, oh, I'm an actor / model / entrepreneur / real estate broker / figure skater / cowherder / like, you know, anything you can imagine. So it's beautiful because it's very multi-passionate and it wants to do all the things, but then the shadow side of it is spreading yourself too thin. And your mind is so active that all of those ideas can also lead to overthinking, anxiety, insomnia. So that's Vata, air. And then physically, anything related to air. So bloating, gas, air in the system, feeling dry, cold, flaky, all of these are Vata related issues. So it's what I actually see the most common, especially with like health conscious women, because they're eating all the salads and smoothies and cold foods, yeah. which are Vata increasing. So that's why everyone's anxious and everyone has digestive issues and this and that. Well, it's all because of this like massive Vata imbalance. And then also multitasking, traveling, you know, even being in a car is imbalancing your Vata because you're not on the ground. Like we're not touching anything on the ground. So our bodies have no idea where we are, what time it is, what's going on. We need to have physical connection to the earth, like no shoes, feet in the soil. So the earth is providing us with information of where we are, what we need, what our bodies are adapted to. Most of us, especially if you live in a big city, when's the last time you actually walked with your feet on the soil? Like, when's the last time you?
I don't know. This is awkward. I gotta go.
Like most people, it's like maybe on a beach vacation. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the only time. But no one's like, it's like, ew, soil, dirt, mud, gross.
Oh, but it feels so good.
It feels so good and it's so grounding, and actually it helps prevent disease. And if you, like, when I'm traveling, I just try to go, even if I'm at a hotel, and just like put my feet in the dirt next to like the tree. You could find a tree. And just like let my body know what's up, where you at, what's happening. And it's gonna function so much better. For example, if we're traveling on air, I just came back from Bali a couple days ago. So my body's still like, what time zone are we in? What part of the world are we in? Everything is so different. So that's why also eating locally and seasonally is major, because you're giving your body the information of where you're at. If your body knows, it's going to be operating so much better. If your bananas are from Costa Rica and your chia seeds are from Peru and this is from that, and nothing is local and seasonal, your body's just not going to be functioning as well. And then your Vata will all be out of balance. So that's why we all have Vata imbalances, because very few of us are actually doing that.
Right, right. So we've got Vata and then there's Pitta.
Yeah, so Pitta is fiery. It is on, it's like if you think about in astrology, Leo, Aries, the fire signs. And there is Vedic astrology also, which is a whole other astrological system that actually predates Western astrology. It's called Jyotish. And they look at the signs differently. So for me, Vedic astrology actually resonates more than Western astrology. So different people find different, you know, I think both can work, but it's just, I mean, that's a whole other conversation that we could get into. But so fire dosha is active, it's determined, it's ambitious, it wants to get shit done. If you think about Jennifer Lopez, if you think about Madonna, think about like Kobe Bryant, athletes, politicians, CEOs, it's all pitta, fire. But the shadow side of that is overworking, burnout. Literally, you're burnt out, all the fire. Whoa. Being angry, being frustrated. Like, if you think of an angry person, it's like fire is coming out of their head. Mm-hmm. So that can be the shadow side. And we live in such a pitta culture that we're like, come on, go, go, what's next? Like, New York is so pitta.
Yeah.
That if you feel like your spirit animal is New York City, that's like that pitta in you is being activated. And sometimes people, like, you definitely have more cough energy, which we'll talk about, but maybe for you, you're like, oh, I like New York because it's motivating for me. Mm-hmm. But some people who are like already super, super motivated and then they're in that kind of environment, it's too much. So we're actually best to live in an environment that brings up what we're lacking in.
Right.
So, be careful.
Be careful. Excuse you.
Yeah. Gotta love the LA Santa Monica mm-hmm. drivers. So the pitta energy, it is feisty. You just think of it that way. And then physically in the body, it leads to feeling overly hot, acne, irritation, heartburn. Literally, your heart is burning, acidity, oily skin, anything related to that. So right. Think irritations, rosacea, a rash, hives. Mm. That's all pitta. Mm. Now, kapha is earthy. It is calm. It is peaceful. It is humorous, nature, like good natured, loving. It's like that friend that's always there for everyone else because it's the earth. It's like it's holding shit down, mm-hmm. you know? So if you think about like what does the earth literally do for us, it's like providing us with food and water, and like we live on the earth, and it's like, don't worry about me. You're polluting me. You're throwing plastic in my oceans. You're screwing everything up. But I'll keep on giving you fresh oxygen, whatever you need. I'm here for you. And that's what kapha does. It's like that sustainer. But what ends up happening over time, if you're out of balance in that, is you just give, and then you end up depleted. Yeah. And then it's like, earthquake, climate change. Oh, sorry, can't keep up with that anymore. And it can all shatter.
I feel like that happened to me recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kapha moment.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, self-love is so kapha because you have such an abundance of love and you're actually receiving that love from earth. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when people are giving a massage, you say, how do you have so much energy? It's because they're getting that energy from earth and it's moving through them. Mm-hmm. So this love is channeling through your vessel and you're giving it out to others. And that's why you even tell people, you're like, oh, it's not about me. You're doing the work. I'm just being the conduit for it. And that's exactly what that cough energy is doing. But you, which you're clearly doing for yourself, have to be careful to set those boundaries because kapha can be like such an open book, so loving to everyone else that it can lose sight of like, is that my emotion I'm holding on to or someone else's? And you can just hold on to things. That's why they gain weight. They get heavy. They get, you know, you're holding on to emotions. Emotions manifest as form on the physical vessel. So kaphas can lead to binge eating because why? You've depleted your energy. You've given so much out that you need to get it in from something that you'll start to look for the comfort foods, the sweet foods, the nourishing foods, which increase more kapha. And then that leads to the spiral.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, just like a pro tip, if you want to have like free sessions with a lot of very expensive coaches, just start a podcast. That's all I'm saying. So, well, thank you so much for explaining all of the doshas. This is really cool. And something that you had said, you had mentioned Madonna, and I want to talk about how Madonna seems to always just like shift and pivot and reinvent herself, and I kind of feel like you are really great at doing that because you have like you have this baseline that is like Ayurveda, but you've gone so many different ways. Like you've written a cookbook and now you're working on the goddesses and these all these really cool beings, and it's just like you just own what you're passionate about. So tell me a little bit more about just like that transformation that you continually go through.
Yeah, you know, I think that everyone is unique and some people really find one thing and they're like, this is just my life's work and it's all I want to talk about. And some people who are more Vata are always changing and like they keep finding out new sides of themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think we all are to an extent, but it's like, how much of it do we publicly externalize?
Right.
And I think the fear is, well, I need to brand myself in this one way, and if I confuse people by talking about something else, then they're not going to want to follow me anymore. So I think there's like that balance of, you know, when I was really trying to make my Ayurveda books happen, it was really like what I was focusing on. I would still show other sides of my personality, but it was very much that. And then once I felt like I had that platform and I was kind of, you know, concrete in that area, then I ventured out to all of the other things that I'm passionate about, from entrepreneurship to sex to relationships to goddesses to mermaids to all of the other things. And so it's like a balance of, okay, I'm going to bring this in and I'll talk about the stuff that I'm known for, and I'll bring this in and I'll talk about the stuff that I'm known for. But people want to know the whole you, right? Yeah. Like, they don't want to only know one side of you, because, like, I used to think, well, if I talk about anything else, they're going to be like, what the hell is that? It's like, okay, the people eating food are also in relationships, are also trying to have careers, are also trying to do these things. So why not meet them at all levels and show yourself as a human, because they're humans too.
Yeah. I've just been nodding like 100% this entire time. It's so powerful. And I think that a lot of people do get caught up in this. I just have to be a certain way. And I'm kind of going through that right now, because I've been talking more about the food journey that I'm on, and the exact issue that I'm experiencing with this kapha energy is that, like, since I stepped into self-love coaching full-time, and I have been just like gaining weight, you know, and it's like learning that I need to balance that, and like, and I'm so into giving. It's just like, you just like know me so perfectly. You just define me. So it's really cool to know that there's science and energy out there that allows us to really figure out who we are as individuals, and like, you know, just like astrology and everything. But I think it's really scientific. So,
and you know, it's all interconnected. Like, this, that food journey you're having is 100% interconnected with the self-love. Mm-hmm. Because it's also that if you're just giving love out to other people, you're going to need to self-love yourself. And it could be in the more shadow aspects of donuts and whatever else. So it's not even something that's totally different. It's all interconnected.
Amen, sister.
Yes.
Well, I think now would be the perfect time for our first road trip game of the day. So as I was coming over here, I was like, okay, she's like a musician. She's a poet. I thought that we could play the jukebox game.
Okay.
So basically this game is, or I'm going to call it like the songwriter game. So what we're going to do is, you and I are just going to write a song right now together.
Okay.
So you're going to like start, I'll let you start. You can like sing a verse, and then I'll sing a verse, and then we'll sing a
what
verse.
What genre?
And, well, that's the thing. So it's up to you, but I think that the title of the song is going to be like, what's your dosha?
Okay, what's your dosha?
Huh?
What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? What's your dosha?
Yeah.
What's your dosha, baby?
Okay.
What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby?
Okay. My name is P Money. We're on the mic, and I want to tell you that I think I like the name of Kapha. I'm a Kapha, but don't make me kapha. Thinking about what I gotta do, because when I self-love, it comes back to you and me. Ooh, 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 come on, what's your dosha? A 1, 2, 3. Ooh, what's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? Ooh, what's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby?
Vata, pitta, kapha, vata, amin, shabasana. I'm here chilling in Varanasa, eating all of the baklava.
Yes.
Everyone knows I'm cool because I've got vata dosha in my school.
Yes, yes.
Going hard. Name's Sahara Kitabi. Tear apart your hood, worse than a tsunami.
Oh, what's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? Ooh, what's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? Ooh, what's your dosha?
Dosha, delicious. Dosha-dosha-licious. I wanna dosha-licious on ya, dosha-dosha-licious. We will get to moksha when we doksha on your poksha. We're gonna eat some loksha.
Yeah.
Come over here, let's toksha.
Oh my goodness. What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? Ooh, what's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? Dosha, 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 dosha. Break it down. Vata.
Vata, pitta, kapha.
Kapha.
Pitta, kapha, water.
Ooh, pitta.
Want
it, need it, got
need it.
It.
Oh, got it.
Got it.
What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby?
What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby?
Get in now. What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? Get out.
Available on iTunes and Spotify. That was the most fun I've ever had.
That was the best. I need to work on my freestyle of dosha rapping, once that verse is finished, we're good to go.
Amazing. You guys, I was just pulled over by the negative self-talk police. They caught me beating myself up and not celebrating the success that I have been experiencing every single day in my life. And I'm pretty sure you can relate too. So if you want to avoid getting a ticket from the negative self-talk police, all you have to do is join me for my free masterclass all about how to set yourself up for self-love, acceptance, and to ditch the negative self-talk. All you gotta do to register is head to paulfishman.love/masterclass, choose the time that works best for you, and I will see you for a dance party. So remember, you gotta register today to keep the negative self-talk police at bay. Okay, let's get back on the road to self-love. Whew, I gotta come down from that. Okay. So let's talk about just like what's going on in your world right here and now. I know you're getting ready to release, you're writing like another book, you're going to releasing a deck, all these cool things. Like, what's happening? What are you working on that's really like fueling your fire?
You got the exclusive first. This is the first time I'm publicly talking about the deck.
Okay.
So you got it first. So the deck is called a Yogic Path.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I love working with Oracle card decks, and I wanted something that brought together yoga, Ayurveda, the chakras, the goddesses, all of these incredible Vedic things, but in a way that was like beautiful and educational at the same time, because, you know, I love books and the deck has a book with it, but I want to interact with them more. And I feel like that's like what the next level learning is about. Like, how does this imply with my life? So I downloaded literally like what each card is going to be, 54 cards with 108 meanings. 108 is a very symbolic number in all of like Vedic yoga. That's why they do 108 like beads on a mala bead and 108 yoga asana in the class, etc. So 108 meanings, all things that you can pull. I mean, I recommend doing it. The way that I work with cards is I will set it up, set my intention, pull a card. Before I look at the card, I then ask my intuition, what do I think this card is going to say? Because sometimes we're like, we look at cards as if it's like got the answers, and the answers are within yourself. A card is a tool to bring you further into yourself. So let's say I'm like, okay, what should I be focusing my energy on next? I pull the card and I just sit with it in between my hands, and I'm meditating on what do I think the card's going to tell me, because I know what I need to focus my energy on next. And then I pull the card and then I really look. So all of the cards are made by this incredible illustrator, Star Child Tarot. She has like beautiful decks. It's like collage art. But we wanted to use the actual ancient statues and artwork from the Vedic times of the goddesses to really honor and respect them. Mm-hmm. So it's all actual statues from the Metropolitan Museum that she made into epic collage with lots of like just cool meaning within. So I recommend just looking at the card. What is it bringing forth? Like, what is the emotion it's bringing through? What are you receiving from that? And once you've allowed that communication to happen, then look in the book.
Yeah.
And see what the meaning is.
I like that. I like this. You know, I was chatting with my friend, and we were talking about tarot and just cards and decks in general, and how like everything that's in there, like you already know, like you're pulling a card and you're like, oh, of course, that's why they
should
work.
I break up with him? It's like, yes. You're like, oh, I don't know, I'm gonna pull another one. I feel like it's off today.
Yes.
Okay, until you get what you want.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's really, really cool, this whole concept of just like creating something that's going to support people really just journeying inward, which I think is the bigger message and mission in the health and wellness space. It's like taking it inward. We all have the answers.
Yes.
We all know exactly what we need. It's just like giving ourselves permission to do it. And whether you're using Ayurveda as the tool or tarot or a book or whatever,
totally.
It's really cool. So let's talk about intuition a little bit and like how do you, like take someone who's doesn't even really understand intuition in general. Like how would you introduce the concept of intuition and then give like one or two tools to tap in?
Yeah, so I think intuition works differently in different people, but I think overall the biggest misconception is we feel like intuition is going to be someone else's voice that comes through. Mm. Like, what should I do? And God's like, go take a left. And like, you know, it's going to be in your own voice. So we confuse our own voice. Is it from coming from the mind or coming from the intuition? And those are the two biggest debacles, right? So I find the intuitive voice is always expanding. Now, that doesn't mean it's always positive, but it's always going to expand you in some way. Whereas the mental voice is more analytical. So the mind wants to be like, okay, let me think of this from every single angle until I can figure out the reason. Whereas the intuition's like, this is the way, but sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes we need to use the mind to figure out how to physically get there. But the intuition is like, you know, if I had a compass and it's like, if I take a north, I'll make it to Sacramento. Well, I don't know. Is that north? Is that north? That's how we use the mind. But I know I need to go north. So the intuition is going to give you that overall sense. And sometimes the intuition will tell you like specific people you need to connect to. Like sometimes like someone comes to me and is like, shoot that person a text. And then I shoot them a text and they're like, oh my God, I was just thinking about you. So it's also a matter of the more you trust your intuition, the more you act on it quickly, the more it's like, okay, yes, you understand in this. And I believe then you start to have a stronger relationship. But if you're always like, oh my God, I make shitty decisions. I can't listen to myself. I'm not going to do what comes to mind first because I make a ton of mistakes. That's essentially shutting off your intuition. And then you're going to end up working with your survival brain. So we have our higher brain, which is our intuitive, joy-based, connection-based, looking at the bigger picture, and then our survival brain, the reptilian brain, which was actually evolved to help us cope with, you know, evolution. So most of us are working with our lower evolutionary brain on a daily basis. So it's switching to the intuition is the higher brain. What would work for the greater scope of my life and for all of humankind and taking it out of the self too? What would, you know, that's another thing about like manifestation. I believe we're turning manifestation into such a selfish thing, and that's not what it is. It's how can I align my desires with what is best for the greater good of all? And if you can do that, it will happen for you. But if it's like, oh, I want this big house because it's just going to be fucking awesome. Like, no. But if you're like, I want this big house because I'm going to feel expansive and recharged and renewed and be able to create new content that's going to uplift and inspire other people, universe is like, okay, that aligns and it will happen. So intuition is putting it in the bigger picture. It's listening to the subtle voice, the whisper, the, you know, the mind is like, you know, and the intuition is like, and if you're just like listening to heavy metal all the time, you're not going to hear like Enya's wandering voice. Mm-hmm, intuition mm-hmm. is Enya. The mind is trap music.
Ooh, I mean, I love a good Enya moment.
So good.
That was a beautiful, beautiful definition. I think that's going to be like the quote.
Yeah.
That's going to be the quote from this episode.
Yeah.
So.
And not that there's anything wrong with trap music. Oh, not that there's anything wrong with the mind.
Right.
Because we need the mind too. It's not, oh, I'm only go with the heart, forget about the mind. No, you're gonna get in a lot of trouble, you're gonna have sex with a lot of people, you're gonna make a lot of mistakes if you only go with the heart.
Right.
You're like, I just love everyone, and then there's no boundaries, there's no, like, you know, rules, and we need some level of that.
Right.
But it's having that balance of where can I use some more of my heart and lead from the heart, but use my mind to take me to the destination of my heart.
Yeah, and speaking of texting people, you texted me and told me that I was 100% a unicorn.
You are.
And that just like filled me up with joy. You've been doing a lot about like mythical creatures. Like, talk about that a little bit. And then, of course, tell me why I'm a unicorn. Because
yes.
I just ran with it. I didn't ask any questions.
So the mystical beings majorly started coming through. I love working with archetypes, whether they're doshas, goddesses. And then suddenly I started to, you know, I would just always like in my head when I would meet people be like, oh, they're a fairy, they're a unicorn, they're an elf. Like in my head, it was just this thing I did. And then I just started to share about on my stories, and a lot of people got interested, so I started to do a lot of posts about it, and I'm right now working on a book on it too. So we all connect to all of these beings, and I believe that mystical beings are real. They're just in other dimensions. We just don't see them. Because why does every single culture in the world have them? Every culture that have never had any human contact with each other, they all have fairies, they all have some kind of gnomish elf thing. They all have these beings. So they're existing, and I see them also as archetypes that we connect to. So that unicorn archetype, which you are, is someone who's very themselves. Like, they're almost leaders in that authentic power. Okay, like, what's a unicorn? It's colorful, it's playful, it's like, you know, in front of us it says make a splash. That's exactly what a unicorn does. It's making a splash. It's like, I'm here and I'm a unicorn. They're naturally very positive. They naturally look at the best. Like, I talked about this on the podcast that I did. Like, the moment you came to my house to be on my podcast, I was like, oh, it's raining, and you were like, thank God we needed the rain. And I'm like, that's such a unicorn thing to say, you know? You're like, woo, the flowers needed it. So the unicorns are always looking for the best. They're very colorful. They love to work with their hands, I've noticed. So a lot of, like, makeup artists, stylists, etc. I think it's because they like to create experiences, create, you know, inside their mind, it's such, like, colorful rainbow things, and they want to create more of that in the world. So that's why I see them doing a lot with, like, style, interior design, etc. They like working one-on-one with people because they're really heart-centered and connect with people, and they're very present. So sometimes doing, like, a big project, they're like, oh, I can't really figure out how that's gonna go, but, like, woo, this is exciting. And that's how their energy is, because it just needs to be present and excited and doing the things. The unicorn can sometimes be a little naive because they want to see the best in everything and in all situations, that they're like, okay, person, like, I trust you. You probably have my best interest in mind because I have your best interest in mind. So sometimes, especially earlier in life, they'll learn that they can't trust anyone. And then sometimes they shut off their unicorn powers because of that. And that's why a lot of unicorns are not actively being unicorns. They often rediscover it later on in their lives. But sometimes some people listening may be like, I used to be a unicorn and I'm not anymore. Because you have to learn how to trust again and open your heart again after that distrust.
Oh my God.
Because we need you. We need you guys bringing rainbows and butterflies and sparkles to the world.
Yes. All of those things.
Yes.
Why are you just so able to, I'm just a Kaffa unicorn.
You are.
It's just like, that's it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put that on my business card now. Not self-love coach, Kaffa unicorn.
Instagram bio, Kaffa unicorn. Figure that out if you don't know what that means.
Yeah. I get DMs after DM. Maybe I'll just, put this as my Instagram story highlight so that everyone knows. Well, I mean, thank you for that. That's beautiful. What else is going on in your world? You're about to get married. That's so exciting. And I mean, maybe just, like, tell us a little bit about that whole, like, engagement story. Or maybe what I would actually love is just for you to talk about the relationship and how it came to you.
Yeah. So I manifested him. I created him out of thin air. I was looking for a very specific person. And, you know, from dating different people, like, I was like, oh, I want a really spiritual guy. And I dated, like, super spiritual guys. And I was like, ugh, I feel like I'm, like, the dude in the relationship, because they're like, let's talk and analyze this, that. Like, I can't. So I'm like, okay, I want someone who's conscious and open to this stuff, but maybe he's not, like, you know, a professional sound healer. You know, like, something in between. So I essentially drew a picture of what I was looking for. I drew what he looks like, his age range, what do we talk about, even, like, the ethnic backgrounds, like, different ideas of, like, in order of how I wanted it to be. Like, I was so specific. Like, everything, like, okay, on weekends we go to the farmer's market. He's entrepreneurial but kind of hipster, and he loves that I'm spiritual, and I get to teach him about spiritual things, and he helps me with my business. And, like, down, I'm like, he has, like, a beard and, like, a man bun. My fiancé does not have a man bun. I'm still working on that.
I'm working on it.
But all of these things, and I would do these very deep meditations that I would connect with him and communicate with him. And I would be like, where can I find you? Like, where are you? And I would always get the message, like, don't look for me. Like, I will find you when the time is right. You focus on having fun and you focus on yourself. Huh. So I took that as go to all the music festivals in the world. and eventually I wanted to go to this festival called EDC. And I was, like, looking for someone who may have a ticket. And I went on this app called Bumble, which is a dating app. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, who may have tickets? And long story short, he was at EDC. He was like, oh, I have a ticket. We can go together. And I was like, oh my God, I manifested that really quick. But, you know, I was scared. I didn't know him, so I didn't go. But we started talking, and he was FaceTiming me and messaging me. I was like, is this guy at the festival by himself? Like, why is he talking to me the whole time? He's like, okay, I'm going to have loose service for 20 minutes, and I'm going to call you back. I hadn't even met this guy in person. So when we met in real life, I was, like, not sure, like, what, you know, would I be attracted to this person or not? And I also had the idea that my God man, that's what I call him, lives in San Francisco based off the things that I wrote, like entrepreneurial startup, kind of hipster San Francisco, you know? So I was sort of like, I was just living with my grandparents in LA. I wasn't like stuck here. I had been traveling for the past like 2 years. So I was sort of like, okay, I'll just see him and see how it goes. And the moment I saw him, I was like, oh my God, he's really cute. And I normally don't drink at all. I took 3 shots, which for me is a lot of alcohol. And I was so drunk, I gave him a hickey on his face. Literally on his face. I ate his face. And then fell asleep at his place, woke up the next morning, and we stared at each other's eyes for 2 hours without speaking. Oh. Just stared in each other's eyes of just like, neener, neener, like, where have you been my whole life? Recalibration, like, all of these past lives coming together. And it was like, boom, we found each other. And there was never conversation of like, so are you going to see other people or not? Are we dating? Are we exclusive? This, I was like, so how many kids do you want to have? And now it's 4 years later and we're getting married in a couple weeks.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's so, I want to know like what his side of the story is. You don't have to tell it, but like, I've
his side of the story was like, yo, this bitch is lit. I'm going to get fucked tonight. And then when I fell asleep with all my clothes on, I was like, and then woke up and I gazed him. He's like, okay. And then it was like, come to my grandma's house, we can do work together. And then he found out the true me very fast.
But, I love that.
But he was like, yeah, that one night you reeled me in with your party vibes, and then I found out the truth. But I think we both met each other at a time that we're entrepreneurial, and we're both kind of, we're figuring out like, how can I make what I love into the business that provides for my life? Mm-hmm. And so we both would just work next to each other all the time. I mean, we still do. It's like the foundation of our relationship, and we both really honor and support each other. Like this weekend, he's at Coachella because his clients are performing, and I'm like, yeah, go for it, dude. Like, I want you to be happy and I want you to be successful, even if that means spending less time with me and me spending less time with you, because eventually when we're fully in our power, we're going to be able to show up for the best version of each other.
So beautiful. When I was manifesting my dream man, I did the exact same thing, and he came to me in 7 days.
Wow. So yeah, mine took a month.
Yeah. So just a little FYI, you know, if you're rolling your eyes, you have 2 case studies right here.
I know so many people who've done this. I'm like, you just write something down, because the universe wants to serve you. Mm-hmm. It does. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't know what you want, because most of the time we don't know what we want. So I want to tell a little analogy on this. So most of us, let's say you're craving a spicy tuna roll, okay? Uh-huh. And it's noon, the sushi restaurant opens at 6 o'clock. So you're like, I really want the spicy tuna roll, but nothing's open, I'm starving, I need food, so I'll just go to this Mexican restaurant. You go to the Mexican restaurant, you're like, hey, can you wrap this burrito in seaweed? They're like, we don't really do that, but I guess we could, maybe. You're like, perfect. And then you're like, okay, it's kind of like sushi. Could you maybe swap out the chicken for a spicy tuna? They're like, well, we don't have that, we could add some mayo. You're like, okay. So you're slowly, slowly trying to turn this burrito into sushi. It's not really sushi, and you're kind of half liking it, half not. But you're like, this could work, this could work. You're eating it, trying to change it. The Mexican guy's like, I'm really, no entiendo, ¿qué pasó? Like, he's not understanding. And finally, it rolls 6 p.m., and the sushi restaurant opens, and you're too full because you've been eating this burrito you've been trying to turn into sushi roll. And this is what we do on relationships. We're looking for that guy, and then we find these burritos that we're trying to turn into our God man, who are just so not, and then our God man walks right by us, and we were too stuffed with burritos.
I feel like that is an analogy for everything in life that
we
want.
For everything.
Like career, like everything. Wow.
We're stuffed with burritos.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate that with the kaffa.
Really? I'm like, do you want to go get a spicy tuna burrito right now? Yeah. But can it be vegan, please?
Yeah.
And gluten-free? That'd be great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could just talk to you forever about all of the things. I love that you have so much knowledge in everything. And when I'm always interested, like, because you have an awesome following, very engaged. Like, where did that all begin? Like, when was this moment where you're like, oh, you know, like, I am, for lack of a better word, an influencer, you know, like, I have influence.
Yeah, I mean, it never began with that intention. I started blogging 8 years ago, and I started it with just, it was like, I was ashamed of it. I didn't put my name on it because I didn't want people to know, because it was embarrassing to have a blog back then. And I just wanted to share my, like, healthy food and positive psychology. And then from there, I never considered myself, like, the influencer. So I tried to turn it into an online magazine, and I eventually got, like, 30 writers, and I was, like, the person putting up all their articles, and like they would have a voice, and then slowly I would start to contribute my own articles, and then realize, oh, people actually really like these articles too. Then one of the articles I wrote called 1 week detox went viral on Pinterest, and then I was like, oh my god, maybe, you know, it's gonna actually be way easier instead of me trying to follow up with all these people for me to just start writing the articles. So I started doing them. Then I'm like, well, I'm not like a health coach or anything like that, so I should go sign up for some sort of nutrition program. So I signed up for Institute for Integrative Nutrition with the hope of me doing this magazine thing. And then from there, they basically gave me all the steps of how to become a coach. I was like, okay, well, I don't really, like, I went to school to be an international human rights lawyer, and I didn't want to do that anymore because I wanted to work with people and be connected to them and have the freedom of being an entrepreneur. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll do this for money while I figure out what it is I do want to do. And then I realized I was good at it. So it was never like, I want to be an influencer and I had that intention. It was just following the breadcrumbs and then naturally sharing about Ayurveda. And I think the hardest part was, you know, not having anyone around me in my community that was doing that kind of thing, that I was like, what does this even look like? How do bloggers even make money? Like, how does all this stuff work? Like, and then how do I get a book deal? Like, what's that process like? Because I had never met an author, didn't know anything about the publishing world, etc. So it was a lot of just me figuring it out on my own, which I'm so grateful for, because it made me super self-reliant. And now in this day, if there's anything I want to do, I'm like, I can just Google it and figure it out. Whereas I feel like people are like, well, if I don't know anyone that's done it, then I just can't do it. And that's so not the case. I mean, I grew up in the suburbs of Boston. Like, no one was doing these kind of things. And yeah, like I mentioned, I lived with my grandparents just so I could be in LA, health coaching all day long to just save up enough money to hire editors to edit my book. And, you know, everything was leading from one thing to the next. So I don't think anyone should aspire to be an influencer for the sake of doing that, because what's the real motivation behind it, you know? Like, I think a lot of people are like, well, I just want free trips and free clothes and free whatever. And, like, honestly, like, that's not even at all the most rewarding part. In fact, a lot of it is the most annoying part too, because then it's like all of the expectation, et cetera. Like, I kind of wish I could just share and like not have to deal with like all the messages and this and that. As grateful as I am, I'm literally just here to serve, and I don't need anyone stroking my ego, telling me what a good job I did. And I think we need that level of dedication of like, you don't need to pat my back on this. I'm just here for you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I love
yes.
that. I love that. So that just like hit so many buttons for me. I'm just starting to dabble into this whole like, you know, paid campaign type of stuff. And it can be very exhausting. So I get it, because like, you know, you stay at a hotel, they give it to you for free, but you have to send them all these photos and you have to post and they want you to tag all this stuff. And it's just like, wait a second, like, is it even worth it? Like, sometimes I'm just like, oh, I'd rather just like pay for the hotel.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So it's definitely like, I think that it's really important to talk about the shadow sides of everything that we do, because there's always going to be a shadow side about it. So Sahara, I would love to keep you forever. I just have a couple more questions, but first, before that, we've got one more road trip game.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a fun one. So every Road to Self-Love episode, we play Fuck, Marry, Kill with inanimate objects or concepts. And I think that this is going to be fun, because, and it might be challenging for you. I am going to ask you to play Fuck, Marry, Kill with Vata, Pitta, and Kapha.
I love that. Okay, so I would fuck Pitta. Because it's like, it's feisty, it's on fire, probably has a sick body, it's been working out. Like, I was actually, like, when I was manifesting, I was like, I want a Pitta guy, because it's just sexy to be, like, on fire. Mm-hmm. Definitely fuck Pitta. I would marry Vata, most people would marry kapha. In fact, in India, they tell you to marry kaphas because kaphas are super like calm and peaceful, and like they would set up a beautiful house, etc. And maybe if I was like a guy, I would want to marry a kapha. Mm. But since I'm very Vata, I feel like I would want to marry a Vata because I love coming up with like ideas and being super creative and like going out on a whim and traveling, mm. etc. Like that's more of a priority of me, of having like someone to come home to cook dinner for me, because I can, you know, do it myself. So I would marry Vata and, sorry, kill kapha.
Well, I just almost drive us off the road. Take one
as
out.
As much as I love kapha and it's such a beautiful dosha, I mean, I would want to marry a combination. I think in relationships you need to have all three in the relationship because, you know, sometimes in my relationship with my partner, neither of us are very kapha, so we like need that. So it's actually coming from my own shadow side of not wanting to slow down. I'm like, kill the kapha, let's keep going.
Perfect. Yeah. Amazing. Well, you know, I
what about you?
You're
like, I'd kill the Vata.
I killed the Vata. What are you? I kill that.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely, I would actually also want to marry a Vata because I have a lot of that Vata tendency in me. I love to go, 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 go. I love like being spontaneous, like traveling at the, like, I love that. I'm always like, always floating up in the air, but I think that has a lot to do with me being a Libra as well. Mm-hmm. And then I think I would be the same as you. I would definitely want to have like passionate, like a torrid passionate affair with Pitta. And my husband's very Pitta, so all about that life. And then I guess I would murder myself. That would just kill me.
Well, you're clearly kapha Vata because you have the Vata too.
But I also have like a lot of Pitta when it comes to work. Like I'm very,
that's great,
very driven.
Yeah.
Cause my, and I can just associate that to like my entire 10th house is in Aries. So mm-hmm. my entire business is just very like 100% just, if I want it, I'm going to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I will like work so hard, but also make it fun and fresh.
And that's wonderful because Pitta is the energy that we need for execution. So mm-hmm. it's amazing that you're able to keep it into work and not let it seep into other areas of your life and be like an angry freak in your free time, you know?
That's me, angry freak. So my next question, I would love to know, what does self-love mean to you? Mm.
So I did a podcast episode on this a bit ago. So for me, self-love is the abandonment of shame. Abandoning shame, because so much of the reason why we are not harboring self-love is because, oh, well, I'm ashamed of not being successful enough or fit enough or being able to keep up with my goals like I said I would, or whatever that thing it is that we held ourselves up to that pedestal of that we're not achieving. That is the reason why we don't have self-love. So if you drop the shame of, if I don't do those things, I'm a bad person and I'm not worthy. If you just drop that, then naturally you hop into self-love because you are love. Like, we are love naturally. It's just this shame and societal pressuring that's making us forget that we're love. Self-love is just our natural state.
Yeah. That made so much sense. My mind is blown. I like that a lot. I was like, oh yeah, that's every single one of my clients. That's what they're dealing with.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I also love that I've recorded like 20 of these episodes and every single person's definition of self-love is different.
I love that.
That's the most. So Sahara, tell us where can we find you if we're obsessed with you and just need to know, where can everyone find you?
So you can find me on my Instagram at I am Sahara Rose. I post lots of stuff about the doshas, spirituality, all that good-ish. And I have a podcast called Highest Self Podcast, which your episode is going to be coming up on in May.
Yeah.
Super excited for that. And it's a great one. Do lots of conversations with epic people and also just lots of like diving into different spiritual concepts and making it really accessible and relatable. And if you want to discover your own dosha, you can take my quiz over on my website, iamsaharaRose.com, Sahara like the desert, and it will ask you a quick 12 question quiz. It will tell you what your dosha is, tell you all about it, what it is in your mind and your body, the best foods for you. We'll email you a free 3-day mini course. So definitely check that out on my website too. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh my goodness, of course. And you guys, we will have all of that in the show notes and the comments if you're watching on YouTube. If you enjoyed watching this, please make sure to give it the big thumbs up, share it, screenshot it. Make sure to tag me at Paul Fishman, at I'm Sahara Rose, at The Self Love Show, wherever you want to tag, share all of the things. You know, spreading love and light is my mission, and with your help, it is going to be a thing. So thank you so much for being here, Sahara. Oh, I think we should like do a little outro of like, what's your dosha?
What's your dosha, baby? Oh, what's your dosha?
What's your dosha, baby? Ooh, what's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby?
Ooh, what's your dosha?
Ooh, what's your dosha, baby?
What's your dosha?
What's your dosha, baby?
What's your dosha?
What's your dosha, baby?
What's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? Ooh, what a bit of comfort. Time for Shavasana.
Oh my gosh, thank you for being here. So much fun. Ooh, what's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? Ooh, what's your dosha? What's your dosha, baby? Is it stuck in your head like it's stuck in mine? Ooh, that was so much fun. All right, I'm just gonna drop a review of the week because y'all know that I love shouting out the love that is coming my way. So this week's review is from Alex Schlow 24. Self-love is a must. I love how open and authentic Paul is. I've been on a journey of self-development for a few years now, but never really understood what self-love was until I stumbled across Paul. Thank you for sharing your truth with the world. Everyone has something to gain from self-love. Alex, you, my friend, you are the true MVP here because it's important to notice that you've been on a journey, and just by joining us here on the road to self-love, you've been able to reframe some of your ideas and concepts that you had around your journey. And it's my hope and dream that by joining us here on the road to self-love, that not only you, Alex, but everyone else who is listening understands that it's not always so black and white. It's not always so cookie cutter. There are lots of different ways to view self-love, and I think it's very, very important to recognize that over the past 11 episodes, each person, each guest that I've had on the show defines self-love differently in a beautiful and powerful way. So Alex and all of my self-lovers, thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next time for another episode of The Road to Self-Love. Bye!